Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitan.
The study of Ecclesiastes chapter 10, to dig a pit means to prepare or to organize or to plan a fall for someone else. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing to plan and to imagine to dig a pit in order that the person will pass by and he or she will fall into that pit. It shows us the evil of foolishness that one can do in his or her life. So he says, listen, be careful, Israel. You want to dig a pit for somebody else? Well, you watch it. Because you are bound to fall into the very same pit that you are preparing for somebody else. He's speaking also immediately in this same verse, the one that break a hedge. A serpent will bite him. You know, breaking a wall, a hedge, you never know what is inside that wall. Why are you breaking a wall? You're breaking a wall, you're breaking a hedge in order to enter in, to get your own way, to get your own direction, your own will in that. Well, watch it, because eventually it will bite you. Now, notice he used the word that serpent shall bite him. You never know what is creeping in the hedge, that when you try to break it to force your own way, you will see it may harm you, and eventually you are going to be bit by the very same thing that you seek to do against others. So don't dig pit for someone else, because you may fall into that pit. Don't force yourself in such a way that you eventually want to break hedges, because you eventually might receive the biting from a serpent that will harm you as well. He continues, and in verse 9, he says, he that remove a stone or split wood for evil purpose, he eventually can harm himself. Whosoever removeth stones shall be hurt therewith, and he that claveth wood shall be in danger thereby. In other words, if you do something for a wrong reason, be careful that it will catch you. It will ultimately harm you. The verse that comes to my mind as I'm thinking about that is what the Lord said in the book of Numbers to our people of Israel. Be sure your sin shall find you out. Or he says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's what he's really saying here. Eventually, it's going to catch up with you, especially when you wish to do evil to someone else. In verse 10, he continued and he said, if the iron is blunt or dull, and he do not whet, or the edge is not sharpened, then must he put more strength, more force in order to accomplish his own way. But then he says, but wisdom is profitable to direct. It's like trying to do, to break something or to cut something with a dull axe, or trying to, with an unsharp edge of an axe, to try to break something. That's what really happened when a person tried to force himself. But wisdom, notice verse 10, wisdom is eventually profitable to direct one in his or her path. In verse 11, he says, surely the serpent will bite. The foolish, evil ruler will eventually seek to do to you harm. And I'm reading verse 11. Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and the babbler is no better. In other words, the ruler here, or the serpent here, represent the leader or the ruler of a country. Just like we have read from the beginning of this chapter, that a person who is ruling without wisdom, without allowing God to control, is the one that eventually will seek to harm those that seek the will of the Lord. So, verses 4 to 11, wisdom is submissive to authority. And because of submissiveness to authority, one will not allow himself to be harmed by going in a wrong direction. Well, he continued, and I'm going to follow through here in this chapter, verse 12, 13, 14, and 15. A wise man knows how to control his very own tongue. You know, the tongue is the smallest member of our body. And with this same tongue, we bless God and curse others. The tongue is often that which betrays us. The Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth, the tongue is speaking. And here we have also to be extremely careful with how do we use our mouth and our tongue? Do we use it for edifying others? Do we use it for building up? Do we use it to praise God and to bless the people of God? Or do we use it in order to dishonor the Lord? And so notice that, verse 12, the words of the wise men are gracious. Verse 12, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. Reading this verse reminds me immediately of Yeshua the Messiah. You remember when he was here on earth, what the Gospels present us about him, how he spoke word in due season. And everyone that heard him will marvel at the words that he spoke. Gracious words came out of his mouth. He spoke words that edified, that blessed those that were around him. And so he's saying, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The words that are of unkind words, foolish words, will eventually not benefit the fool. But a wise man take out of his mouth words that are gracious, that someone can hear him and be edified by the words that come out of his mouth. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4, please, dear brothers and sisters, just to read about Yeshua, our Messiah, how he spoke graciously. We read in verses 21 and verse 22, it says there that he began to say unto them, this is Jesus, this is Yeshua the Messiah, he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. When he read in the synagogue in Beit HaKnesset, there in Nazareth, in Nazareth, and people sat and listened to what he said, and he read the passage from Isaiah, which says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He says, to preach deliverance unto the captive, and recovering of the sight of the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. In verses 18 and 19, he's actually quoting Isaiah chapter 61 that speak about himself, the Messiah. And as the people in the synagogue were listening to his reading, he says, this day, verse 21, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And then everyone who sat in the synagogue said, and all that heard him witness, and they wondered at the gracious words which had been proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, is not this Ben Yosef, Joseph's son? I wish I could have sat there 2,000 years ago and just listened to the words of Yeshua the Messiah, words that have touched the conscience and the heart of every hearer. That they were marveled, they said in this verse, they wondered and said, the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. Oh, beloved brothers and sisters, how much we need to learn from our Lord, from Yeshua the Messiah, and not be like that fool who is speaking words that are not edifying. Because we read in our chapter Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 12, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. Eventually, it will not benefit the fool. Verse 13 of Kohelet chapter 10, again, the fool began speaking foolishness, but he ends with mischief. See, this is exactly what happened. It's only words, but it ends up with mischief. Notice I'm reading, the beginning of the words of his mouth, this is the fool's mouth, is foolishness, but eventually at the end of his talk is mischief and madness. Mischief and madness. In other words, he began to speak foolishly, but he ended with mischief and with madness that is unhelpful, and eventually it lead him or her astray. And so we continue, and he says in verse 14, the fool is full of words, empty words. He cannot know the future. He's only speaking things without actually knowing anything of what he says. Does not benefit anyone. Verse 14, I'm reading verse 14, a fool also is full of words. This is foolish words. A man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? The fool, speaking words without to know what he's saying. He doesn't know what the future may bring, but just speaking as if he knows everything, but eventually his words are empty boasting. They are not edifying, and they are not valuable. Eventually, he actually cannot know what the future may bring. And so King Solomon is admonishing the people of Israel to recognize it. And I can just imagine, is as he's speaking, he really doesn't speak really about himself. He's realizing that he became a fool when he turned away from the Lord. And he's looking back, and he's giving those meshalim, those proverbs to Israel, and saying, listen, I'm going to teach you some lessons from my experience, because I have seen under the sun. I have experienced this in my life. I'm giving you this counsel for your own benefit, so you will not make the mistakes that I have made in my life. He continued now in verse 15, and in light of the godly wisdom, control his tongue. In verse 15, he says, the labor of the fool eventually exhaust and exasperate everyone. The labor of the foolish wearieth. It comes from the Hebrew word teyagenu, which means exhausts everyone. The labor of the foolish exhausts every one of them, because he knoweth not how to go to the city. In other words, he doesn't know how to direct his life. He doesn't know how to go into the city, and that expression, the city, perhaps lead us to think about the city of God, the city where God has his rights. He's so foolish, unwise, not submissive to the Lord, not controlling his tongue. He's not even able to be led into the city. That city, beloved brothers and sisters, by application, remind us of the city that God is in control, that God is in charge. You remember about Abraham, we read in the book of Genesis. God said to him, Abraham, you leave your country, you leave your family, and go into the land which I will show thee of. And Abraham believed God. And God, in spite of the problems that he experienced in his life, he led him all the way into the promised land. And I want to connect with this a verse in Hebrews chapter 11. Just go to Hebrews 11. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we learn of the city which Abraham was looking for. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. There we read, listen to these brothers and sisters, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and with Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now listen to verse 10, beloved brothers and sisters. Why? For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. See, there is a great lesson, I believe, that we can learn from that expression, that the fool, because of his folly, he is not able to know how to go into the city. And that expression, Ha'ir, the city, represents the place where God is, and God will direct his people who will follow him to get into that city. Well, Abram left his homeland, not knowing whither he go, but he trusted God. He realized that God called him to go into a place that he will bless him, he will give it to him. And as the scripture tells us, the book of Hebrews, the writer, the apostle, developed this to those Hebrew believers. And he says, listen, he had faith in God. He waited on God. Not knowing whither he went, by faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, and eventually he was really looking for a city which has foundation, whose builder and whose maker is God. You see, Abraham was looking for a place that was not made by men, but the builder and the maker is none else but God himself. He was looking beyond, even beyond this natural world. He's looking to a place where he's going to spend eternity with God. He was looking for a city and a foundation whose builder and maker is none else but God himself. But you see, the fool who does not submit to God, he does not know what he's saying, he wearies everyone because he doesn't know even how to go right. Now you want to help someone else to be led to the Lord? You want to help a discouraged brother to be encouraged? You want to help a wayward brother or a sister to be drawn back to God? Well, where do we get this? How can we help them unless we have the wisdom that comes from above? Then we're going to be able to lead others to the Lord, to restore other believers to the Lord, to have that which is honoring to God. A person that is acting foolishly cannot be helpful. He actually wearies everyone, exhausts and exasperates others. But a wise brother or sister can lead others to the city, to the place where God is. I often think of the verse in Matthew 18:20 where Yeshua said, "For where two or three are gathered together unto my name, there am I in the midst of them." The Lord is in the center of his gathered saints. He is the object. He is the one that refresh our hearts. We must allow ourselves to lead others to the person of Yeshua, the Messiah, because a foolish man cannot even know the way how to get into the city, to the place where God is and where God's people are. He continued in verses 16 to the end, and with this we're going to conclude, beloved brothers and sisters. Verses 16 to the end, a godly wisdom is a blessing to the land, but also to the people who are in that land. And I'm just going to read those last five verses. Notice in verse 16, "Woe it is to the land whose king is young and immature, and the princes start the day by feasting." Now, can you imagine? Usually when you start the day, you don't start with drinking and feasting during the day. You get up in the morning, you have some responsibility, some order. But an immature leader, an immature king, cannot help the land. And that's why he's saying, "Woe unto thee, O land." And I'm sure he has a reference to the land of Israel in its context. He says, "Israel, Oh, woe unto the land of Israel when your king is a child and your princess eat in the morning. They begin the day, he's not talking about breakfast, but they're eating in immaturity and they are feasting in the morning by not leading the nation in the right way. Woe unto that land. But on the other hand, verse 17, blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of a noble, and thy princess, notice, eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness. In other words, you're so blessed, land of Israel, where your king is actually a noble person, an honorable person, who is leading the nation in the right way, and whose princes do not eat and drink in order to start the day by partying, but the strength come from being obedient to the Lord, eat in due season, and not in such a way that will harm the people of the land. He finalized this passage in chapter 10, in verse 18, 19, and 20, let me just read those verses. By much slothfulness, the building is decayeth, and through idleness of the hands, the house is droppeth through. You know, when one is idle and when one is slothful, the Hebrew word for slothful is atzaltaim. One who is atzel is slothful, he is not eager to do the work. And when idleness, speak about shiflut, doing nothing, not using the hands in the right way, a building will decay and a house will drop through if there is idleness and there is slothfulness. You know that even to build in the body of Christ, in the body of Messiah, it demands a lot of work, a lot of labor. You know that if you and I are going to be builders in the body of Messiah, it means that we'll have to work hard. And the work hard does not mean physically speaking, you have to take your time. You have to pray about it. You have to labor among the people of God, to visit the saints, to help the discouraged. It takes a lot of labor in order to build a house. Can you imagine if none of us is going to do anything, even in the local little fellowship that we have, and all of us going to say, well, one day I might come, one day I might not, one day I might help, one day I might not. If we'll be slothful and idle, can we build anything this way? If you would have a business, would you sit at home and say the business is going to be fine on its own? Even the world knows how to conduct themselves better than many times us. Shlomo is saying to Israel, Israel, slothfulness, much slothfulness, and through idleness, house will be destroyed. Building will be decayed. You got to work. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15:58, be always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. That's why we are members of a body. Every member have a gift. Every member has a responsibility. I'm thinking about my dear son Joab who broke his leg. When the leg is not functioning, you can't walk. You need crutches. And that's the way it is, beloved brothers and sisters. In verse 19, as we are drawing to the end, a wise ruler will provide through joy and he will meet every need. As we said, the feast is made for laughter and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. What he's really saying here, in contrast to verse 18, a proper and an ordered celebration, feast, is eventually can provide blessing. He makes us merry and eventually, and here he used the word for money, answers all things. What does he mean? It doesn't mean that we're supposed to only glean, only seek for money, but actually if you work and you earn a living, you'll be able to provide for your family, to provide for the people of God. You remember what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Thessalonians? Whosoever doesn't work doesn't eat. Why does he say it to the Thessalonians? They were believers. They loved the Lord. He teaches them practical things. In order for benefiting the people of God, you need to have a proper attitude. And therefore, a wise ruler will provide true joy, and he will meet the needs of those to whom he is responsible for. And Shlomo is concluding here in verse 20, curse not the king, nor not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. Why? For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which has wings shall tell the matter. You know, have you heard this expression, a little bird told me? Where do you think it comes from? Shlomo, the king of Israel, a long time ago, he says, listen, there is a little bird who can fly from one place to another and tell it to another person what you said about another person. A little bird. So he's saying, listen, a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which has wings shall tell the matter. Be wise, Shlomo is saying to Israel. And he's saying to you and I, be wise, don't be fool. Don't be practicing folly. Be wise. Godly wisdom will eventually will be profitable. But foolishness will harm not only ourselves, but it will harm others, and eventually will not be to the glory of God. So King Shlomo is the wisest man that ever lived, have gone astray, and now at the end of his life, he's giving counsel to our people of old, and we're going to get it in chapter 12. Remember now thy Creator in the day of thy youth. Be wise, don't be fool. Listen to the word of the Lord. Can we say amen to that?
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.